Happy Thursday, everyone, on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Welcome on in. This has been a very unique week on the podcast. One, because Ira has been traveling a little bit, and we've shuffled the lineup. We've shuffled the schedule, and now we're getting into the fun part of the week, because you still got two podcasts coming with Ira himself. But today is a special edition. No Ira. How about that on the Ira Kaufman Podcast? We're doing a little special job here. I'm Steve Isbitz from JoeBucksFan.com with Lee DeCamper from JoeBucksFan.com. And we're going to keep the seat warm for Ira this morning. And Ira's podcast is going to be cracking on Friday and Saturday this week.
Oh, well, that would be very interesting. And even though I'm substituting for Ira, there's still Ed Moore's Cadillac.
Well, there's no substitute for Ira. There's no we're just here keeping the seat warm. A little business, though, to take care of, and it has nothing to do with Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa and Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon. Ira's podcast, you know, we're all part of a family here, so we don't want you to just subscribe to Ira's podcast on Podbean or on iTunes. We also want you to join the Commish's podcast, free subscription on iTunes, which is Bucks Uncensored, which is taking the world by storm. As well as you can get him on Podbean, which is great to listen on a desktop, as well as on your phone. And Todd Wright's Fantasy Football Podcast every Friday pops on JoeBucksFan.com. Todd's rolling year-round, and he's going to be doing two podcasts once football season comes, since he had so much success with the Tuesday podcast that he rolled out a couple of times last year. So we're really excited about that. We got some other changes coming. So thanks for listening to the podcast. Of course, Ira's podcast is presented by Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa and Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon. So here at JoeBucksFan.com World Headquarters, Lee, which is also known as Hooters on Gandy, we are just going to kick around a few topics and save some of the other stuff for Ira.
You mean the calendar girl that's serving us beers? We can't concentrate on her anymore?
We can. I think it was funny, Lee, when you did mention to her that asking her about the dogs that she posts on the internet, assuming her Instagram account, she looked a little scared when you mentioned that. But she does have a big, giant button that says she's a calendar girl. So she is telling everybody who she is. It's not like you just recognized her from your surfing.
Like a common stalker.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It was an appropriate stalking reference, for sure. All right. So look, the Buccaneers have silently sort of made a lot of moves and decisions by inaction and actions on their offensive line. Offensive line is a very hot topic for Bucs fans, for the Doug Martin lovers, for the people who swore the O-line sucks so bad, yet the Bucs really haven't done much on the O-line. But let's focus on what happened today. First, we learn from ESPN, J.R. Sweezy gets a roster bonus, and now he's going to make $5 million this year. As part of his contract, he was on the roster Monday, got his extra $2.5 million. Dude's going to be paid $5 million this year. He's already made $9 million. What's going on?
Well, first thing, it was Jenna Lane that broke that, our friend Jenna Lane. She's really cool. So I'll give her the recognition she deserves, number one. Number two, I just think it's hysterical. This dude was signed a year ago, has yet to wear a jock strap for the Bucks, much less snap on a chin strap, and the guy collects a roster bonus. I just think it's hilarious. I mean, where can you get this kind of job? It's like, you don't do a damn thing, and you get millions of dollars. He's the sergeant of the floppy hat patrol.
It's a hell of a country. But now they've committed to Sweezy,
yes,
for this year.
Yes.
They got $5 million mm-hmm. invested, which, let's be realistic, though, it doesn't mean he's a starter.
No.
As much as Jason Light wants him to start, mm-hmm. they paid guys your chairless $4.5 million last year to ride the bench and
swinging saloon doors.
And that's not exactly big time guard money, $5 million. Sweezy made that last year, the 9.5 or whatever he made. How do you think they approach him? Is there some sort of deep seated desire for him to start, or they're gonna keep him on the roster and see what happens?
Well, I would guess, educated guess, they're gonna try to start Sweezy. They're gonna give him every opportunity to start. To me, it speaks deeply of their confidence in Sweezy, because just as easily as Sweezy made a deposit, hint, hint, the Bucks could easily wrote him a check as a injury settlement. Like, okay, you know, you're not going to make it, you're not going to come back, here's a check, see ya, have fun. They didn't do that. They went the opposite way. So that tells me they have a lot of confidence. Now, I got to be honest with you, Steven, you're the same way. You look at the history of offensive linemen that had back surgeries, and the following year they put in 16 solid games. That's a stretch. I'm sorry. I'm just going by medical history. You know, history and facts.
I don't even know one.
Yeah, I can't think of one off the top of my head. Now, on our website, someone commented Akeem Spence. That's a defensive lineman. That's not an offensive lineman.
And he didn't sit out an entire year. And
exactly.
Including practice. He missed half a season after an August.
A summer mishap with weights, if I remember.
Summer mishap with weights. And he was back. He missed eight games that year.
He was back in October, if I remember right.
Totally different animal.
Yeah, completely.
Totally different animal.
So, history suggests, well, obviously Glazers because it's their money, but Light's taking a hell of a gamble here, I think. I hope he proves himself correct because that means good things for the Bucks. But that's, that's playing high-stakes poker, if you ask me.
Well, here's the problem with what Light did, and I'll throw this at you, and it's a problem. I don't even have to throw it at you. I'm just going to say it. Kevin Pamphile enters the final year of his contract. If Kevin Pamphile is not a starting guard on this team, why would he come back next year in free agency?
Yes.
So what's the incentive of putting Sweezy on the field when if you're going to make Pamphile a backup after he already proved he can start, he's not going to stay?
Well, I still think what the Bucks have hinted at, if Sweezy is healthy, comes true. I know this irks you, and you're pointing to dollar figures. But everything the Bucks have said, both in the past and currently, the underlining theme is, if Sweezy's healthy, he's your right guard, Pamphile's your left guard, and Ali Marpet goes to center. And I'll never forget the weekend the Bucks drafted Ali Marpet. Jason Light publicly stated in his press conference, Ali Marpet projects as a center. He said that 2 years ago. And Jason has not said one word publicly on the record that's BS. That the concept of moving him to center, he's not denied that in any way, shape, or form. I know your contention is Marpet won't do it because that hurts his salary. If you want to be a hard ass, you could say he doesn't have any choice. He can either sit out or move.
The nuance to that, Lee, is this. Okay, if Marpet's the good soldier and says, sure, I'll play center, well, when it comes time to redo his deal, if he's a decent center, I'm not going to pretend he moves to center and he's an all-pro. Mm-hmm. When it comes time to do his deal, if you're Marpet, what are you going to say? Well, pay me like a guard. I'm a guard. I'm playing center doing you a favor, but I'm a guard. Mm-hmm. Why would I sign here for center money?
And that could happen.
Then you sort of mess things up a little bit. I'm not sure how much at this point the organization really believes in Sweezy, because I think they look at it as like a poker hand. Mm-hmm. Okay, when you have a lot of chips in the pot, you have a lot invested in the hand. Mm-hmm. So a little bit more is not a big deal. Now they've got $9 million from last year invested in Sweezy. They were going to owe him another $2.5 million, so they threw in another $2.5 million with that roster bonus. What the hell? And frankly, the Bucks have said publicly Sweezy was cleared to play.
Yes.
So you can't give a guy an injury settlement if he's cleared to play,
unless you admit that you were wrong.
Right. Right. Now we know doctors' reports get fudged and things happen, but it's such a dicey game here because the Bucks are playing with a guy Sweezy, who he hasn't played in a year or practiced. He was left guard in Seattle. So now you might want him to play right guard. You might move Marpet, who's never played center in his life, who went to Division III. You got Pamphile wondering, does this team like me and want me or what? Mm-hmm. And now you have Evan Smith, we learned today from Greg Allman, put it out there that he got a $1 million roster bonus on Monday, and he's going to make $4.5 million this year. And he's a legitimate center.
Yeah.
So where does Smith factor in?
Well, I'll throw another one at you. Could Pamphile move to right tackle? He did pretty well the one game he did start there when Dotson was hurt and Chehrolis proved to be, as I stated earlier, the swinging saloon doors.
Absolutely. Pamphile can play right tackle, played tackle in college. He played well last year, and he had a few stints there not too good as a rookie. But you just re-signed DeMar Dotson.
Yeah.
The organization just went out of its way last summer. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to. Mm-hmm. They freaking ponied
all
up
in. Yep.
All in on DeMar Dotson when they didn't have to. Mm-hmm. So why are you going to pull him off the field? And Dirk Koetter, I'll say this. Teams around the league need a right tackle. If you didn't believe in DeMar Dotson right now, you could have just moved him.
Sure.
Could have moved him.
Still
this
could.
Somebody, what you could. That's true. You could. I don't know. I just, when you look at the fact, and this gets lost on so many fans, tons and tons of fans, these guys don't hit or have any contact in the spring. So for receivers and cornerbacks and quarterbacks and skill positions, certain ones, they get a lot done in the spring, but linemen don't do a damn thing. So how do you know what you got?
Well, I'm going to back you up on that, and I'll have the story probably next week because I've been bouncing around between the combine and
Vegas.
Going out, yeah, I was out in Vegas for a while. When I talked to Pat Kermit at the combine, and I asked him, we talked about two or three different subjects. One of the stories I think I ran already 2 weeks ago about the running backs, when Dirk Cutter said that, you know, it was more the running backs than the offensive line. And Kerwin said he agreed with that. I believe I wrote that. If I didn't, I will. But one of the things Kerwin
wrote. You wrote it.
One of the things Kerwin wrote about, I mean, Steve, you and I write so many stories, sometimes we don't remember what we write.
Absolutely.
So unlike other publications who snooze. There's no snoozing at JoeBucksFan.com. Kerwin got on the subject, and he went off on this to me, and it was great. And he said one of the reasons why offensive line is, throughout the NFL is an issue now isn't just the spread option offense. He said, yes, that's an issue. Judging talent on offensive line because they're asked to do something completely different in a spread offense than they are in a traditional NFL dropback quarterback offense. But he said the lack, to your point, the lack of hitting, the lack of 9-on-7s, Kerwin said, is a massive, massive issue that the NFL needs to revisit when they have this new contract, whenever the NFLPA current contract expires. He said that's a huge issue.
I'm pretty sure it's 2021. Before we hit that further...
One more point about the offensive line.
Yeah, sure.
And
just to
add to your angst, you and I were the only ones a year ago banged and banged and banged, not her, the drum, about get some help on the wide receivers, get some depth. What happened? Jackson goes down. Murphy goes down, and then you know the Freddie Martinos of the world and his
Cecil
band
Shorts.
Hey, Cecil Shorts, Bernard Reedy, the misplaced Stampeder. You could be looking at the same thing with the offensive line. What I mean by that is the Bucs put a lot of faith that Vincent Jackson was going to return to his, you know, what everybody thought he would be. Instead, he returned as what he was, an over-the-hill, hurt, bad-knees wide receiver that you could argue was disinterested. Light's putting a lot of faith in the offensive line, specifically Sweezy. Is he going to get burned there again? Time will tell.
We definitely have more points to make on the offensive line. We're no rush. We're not ditching that topic because that's sort of our biggest focus here today. But you know what, Lee? Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, they're getting an extra podcast this week. If you just fast forward it in the podcast, Ira's coming back on the podcast tomorrow, Friday, probably Sunday or Saturday. I don't know when I feel like publishing it. We'll see what the custodian has to say.
Whenever you're moved.
And then we'll get back to the regular schedule after that for sure, Tuesday and Thursday.
No one is being deprived of podcasts.
Oh, absolutely. No deprivation here on JoeBucksFan.com.
Well, yes and no. But you're not being deprived of the podcast, but is there depravity? Probably.
Stop looking at the waitress. So Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, the only luxury dealership in Brandon, that's where they believe customers deserve more, like more selection, shop hundreds of brand new Cadillacs, and more savings, like a new 2017 ATS sedan for just $299 a month. Rush to Edmore's Cadillac Brandon to get more. Click edmorescadillacbrandon.com to get started. That's the theme this week and this month, Lee. Morse has more. Morse has more. Of course, the ATS sedan with approved credit, 2.0L turbo standard vehicle, 39 months plus tax, tag, title, and dealer fee. See dealer for all the details. And it's just an incredible opportunity.
So I need to upgrade from my late model Ford Ranger I'm tooling around in.
I think so. Although I like that. I like that vehicle you got there, Lee. But no, Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, who we'll talk about later. Just tremendous support for Ira. And this is where you got to start your car shopping search. You just click. And then you go. That's where I got my Ford. Mm-hmm. I got my Ford Edmore's Cadillac Tampa a couple years ago. No problems with it at all. So back to the O-line. I get what you're saying. If you're counting on Sweezy for depth, you're playing with fire.
Yes.
Playing with fire.
Just like Vincent Jackson last year.
Now, the Bucs, a little different situation because they did draft a guy last year, Benenock.
Mm-hmm.
I remember offensive line coach George Warhop said that there was openly said on the Buccaneers radio network that Benenock was dreadful in his opening game, just scared, crapped his pants, terrible. But they really liked his next game a lot. And so they have high hopes for him. And clearly Warhop has proven he can develop some guys.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that,
Leonard Wester, that's
a reach. I'm going to call it what it is, it's a reach. He played a little bit last year, right tackle for the Swingin' Saloon Doors in Dallas.
And then the next game they had Pamphile starting.
And, yeah, I mean, I'm not counting on anybody else there. Ben Gottschalk, the center, he blew his knee out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he played very well when he was in there,
yes.
But guy blew his knee out. That's the same situation we're looking at. Depth.
Jackson, yeah.
And he's got, one game under his belt. So
yeah.
It wouldn't shock me if Jason Light makes an August play for an offensive lineman if he's questioning the depth. But the Sweezy thing is so freaking scary, and to me it's needless. That's the ticket.
Sure.
Do they draft an offensive lineman?
Time will tell.
I don't know. Now, here's something for you. I forgot his name. The hell with it. We're here at Hooters doing what we do. And maybe you have his name on the tip of your tongue. The center from Ohio State. Very highly regarded guy.
Okay. I don't know his name, but okay.
He was a top guard in college 2 years ago and could have come into the draft, decided to stay in school, made the switch to center. Elfline, I think it is. Elfline. Okay. Made the switch to center at Ohio State last year and played extraordinarily well. And he's considered a grinder and he's mature. He's a 5-year player and is widely considered a second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Do they do something like that? You think they go there? Is that possible, you think?
Well, I was thinking about this last night. It wasn't really about the offensive line, but I'm going to reach for a couple things here.
Please
do. We're going to be hypothetical. Let's do some reaching. Let's say the Bucks, and I don't know this.
It's March. That's what we do.
Yeah, it's March. I don't know this, but let's just say, just for argument's sake, that Jason Light has a 4-hour erection over Dalvin Cook, you know, the kind that you have to seek medical, you know, service for. Cook's not there. He gets drafted. He trades back, loads up on a second or third round pick, and to your point, goes out and gets a center. The last Ohio State center that I can remember that was drafted is exactly why the Bucks have Evan Smith. Ted Thompson drafted Finley, if I remember correctly, center from Ohio State, and Evan Smith quickly became useless for them, and they let him go. And then Evan Smith, of course, signed with that great Lovie Smith class, free agent class, that will go down in the annals of Bucks history.
2014.
Woo! I was telling this to a suit with the Bucks a few weeks ago, and I said, how could this team make those kind of free agent picks? I said, a drunk in the bar would know better. And this guy's getting paid seven figures a year to make allegedly educated decisions. How could you be that stupid? And the guy I was talking to shook his head and goes, don't get me started. Yes, I'm talking about lazy Lovie Smith.
Those were some bad times. And I think it's so telling right now that Altron Werner, after getting a 10-day head start in free agency, still can't find a team.
Can't sniff a job.
This is a guy who's known for good work ethic.
Oh, great guy.
Great guy. Hard worker.
Yeah. Everything you're looking for.
He was healthy last year.
Yes.
He's been to a Pro Bowl. He's still only like 28.
Was given every shot to start.
He's like 28 years old. He can't find a team.
Yep.
I mean, that's wow.
Well, that also, along those same lines, and I wrote about this earlier this week on JoeBucksFan.com, did Bradley McDougal overestimate his self-worth? Or shall I say, did his agent over-evaluate? He's still looking for work. It's been, 5 days now? Or 6 days. We're looking at the 6th day of free agency. He still hasn't been signed.
Yeah, he's going to go. He's meeting with Seattle this week. You know, who knows? I mean, bottom line, I don't disagree with your premise, but we just don't know what the Bucks offered him.
Mm-hmm.
No idea. You know, I mean,
One else is evidently knocking him over with an offer.
I don't know. Maybe he's just. Who knows? Who knows? We'll find out. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't blame a guy like McDougal though if he wanted to just play on a 1-year deal. He's still young enough. Where hey, if I play well again, I'm going to get a big contract. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. But going back to the O-line, Lee, now the Bucks in action, forget about Sweezy for a minute. The Bucks in action at O-line and free agency is something we saw from Jason Light before.
Yes, wide receivers,
After the 2014 season, when the O-line was a train wreck, Light didn't do anything in free agency.
Because he had guys targeted in the draft.
So by default, well, since we're playing these games here, by default, all the endless crowd, which included some media guys, who think that the Bucks had an atrocious offensive line last year, and not that Doug Martin had problems, but it was the O-line's fault, I'm not hearing any of these people on Twitter or these media types targeting O-line for the Bucks in the draft.
Interesting, isn't it?
It's very strange.
Well, like I told one person who had, hey, he has my text number, and he hounding me, how dare you blame Doug Martin, blah blah blah, one night out of the blue. And I'm like, look, I don't go to the combine just so I could say I had a shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo. No, I go there to talk to NFL people. And I talked to NFL people both before the season and during the season, not just with the Bucs. And I'm like, I don't think this is the offensive line. I think it's the running back. I said Doug Martin. And the common denominator, the response I got was, it's not the offensive line. And these are people that work in the NFL for a living, not people who read Pro Football Focus or watch All 22.
It's very interesting because there were legitimately stories written about how the Bucs issues on the O-line, yet no one's talking about them drafting it, and Light did nothing on the O-line.
And to me, the only issue was guys getting hurt. That was the only issue.
Well, Hawley wasn't very good. He was
true.
He was of the five. He was the weak link.
Yes.
So Lee, with the magic of real time 24/7 Bucs coverage, we know that Joe Hawley was just signed. So he's got a 2-year deal. We don't know the specifics. Probably a backup. So now he is back in the mix, and I'll tell you why I'm excited. But what do you think of this?
It tells me I had heard that the Bucs liked Hawley, his intangibles. They just had an issue with, latter part of the season, he wasn't getting the job done on the field. And this tells me they brought him back for depth, familiarity. It reinforces what I was told earlier, that they like his intangibles, like his fire, like his locker room presence. But it also says something else, Steve, that you brought up on the air on 620, if you would be so inclined to explain.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful thing because it cuts the odds, we'll put it that way, cuts the odds that they move Ali Marpet to center, and that's just another risk that isn't needed. So is Hawley a good guy? No. We sat around here calling him the weak link on the offensive line. That hasn't changed just because he's wearing the uniform again. But legit depth, he was a good player in 2015, and I assume he's just going to compete. Whoever can play center, let's compete, and may the best man win.
I personally don't think it cuts the odds of Marpet moving to center at all. We're talking depth here. We're not talking a starter. Unless he blows up in training camp, but we don't expect that. I don't think it cuts the odds of Marpet at center. But what I was trying to set you up with was this should be a clear signal, and you stated this earlier, a clear signal to Bucs fans what the issue was with the running game.
Oh, well, that. Well, you know what? Let dive real quick into the center thing. Here's what I'm thinking. Hawley doesn't play guard. So if you signed him, he's only a center. And again, we don't know if he got guaranteed money.
Yeah, he could have got peanuts.
He could not even be on the roster in September. Mm-hmm. We don't know what kind of deal he signed as of cutting this podcast. I'm sure one of the ESPN hounds will have it.
Which less than 2 hours after he was signed.
At midnight tonight, or maybe not. I don't know. But I assume that the Bucs aren't jerking him around. They like him. Like you said, they like him. They're not going to jerk him around. So if he's here in March, then he's probably here as a backup center, somebody to compete. We already know, like we talked about, Evan Smith got the money, and he's a center guard. I'm not sure you keep Hawley. If you move Marpet to center, then Smith's your backup center, and Hawley's a third-string center. I don't know if you even do that. So I don't. That's why I'm saying I don't know. A lot we don't know.
Well, this tells me Cutter might be involved more than Light. When Cutter came here as offensive coordinator, Evan Smith was stinking. If you remember, he got hurt, and it brought Hawley in from the scrap heap, who Hawley played for Cutter in Atlanta. And I think this has Cutter's hands on it more so than Jason Light.
Well, he was Cutter's guy in Atlanta, so that means a lot to Cutter. And he mentioned that Saturday at One Buck Palace family, and that's not usually a thing that Cutter talks about. He referenced we are stressing family around here. So maybe to sum up what you were trying to tee me up for that I terribly screwed up, is that all the people out there who wanted to blame Doug Martin's woes on the offensive line, forget what I think, forget what Lee thinks, the Buccaneers brass, Dirk Cutter, your favorite head coach, has now brought the entire offensive line back, which means he doesn't believe for a second that Doug Martin's woes were on the O-line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very telling. Now, of course, we could sound like idiots right now, Lee, if they sign Nick Mangold in 2 months and they draft a center in the second round. But for now, it feels good, and we're sticking with it.
Well, actions speak louder than words. Earlier this week, Sweezy gets a signing bonus, which if they didn't think he was going to be able to come back, they would have cut him already or cut a check and said, here's your injury settlement, goodbye. Actions speak a lot more than words. And the fact that right now as we speak, as we're cutting this podcast, the only change that looks apparent to the offensive line is Gotsu Chertilus is quasi-retired. We don't know for sure or not, but he's not coming back, it looks like. The swinging saloon doors is not returning. That's your only change in the offensive line? That reinforces your point. Actions speak louder than the words. The Bucs thought the offensive line was not the issue. Otherwise, there'd be more changes.
Lee, Jameis, you know, we've been students of Jameis's treatment in the media, Jameis's the mindset toward Jameis, fans, media, whatever. You know, it's something we've been, this is what we do. This is life in JoeBucksFan.com world headquarters. But Ezekiel Elliott, I think we all saw the video, the pictures, or the still images, whatever. He was at a parade, I believe it was.
St. Patrick's Day parade somewhere. Huh?
Yeah, he's celebrating. You know, it's the off season, and he touches a woman who was wearing a scantily clad top. He appears to pull down and bare her breast, one breast, the left breast to be exact. And
wardrobe malfunction.
You know, some people are making a big deal, some people aren't. But you said that, imagine if this was Jameis.
Oh, you wouldn't hear the end of it for weeks. I mean, you'd have the pink crowd protesting he should be banished from the United States, that he should be on the other side of Trump's wall. I mean, people would melt down if that was Jameis. Absolutely and completely melt down. You know, Mallory Quirum, I only met her once. Seems like a nice person. She has other qualities that we both admire. And I remember when Jameis had, you know, obviously that was innocent misstep he had. We've gone over that before a couple weeks ago at school. And he apologized to Molly Quinn. Well, I don't accept his apology. Well, Molly, that says more about you than it does him. I'm sorry. But if Jameis would do this, the reaction would be hysterical. Every ESPN program, all those debate shows, and same with Fox Sports 1, that's all it'd be about. Jameis would be leading. It'd be unbelievable. Elliott? Outside of Mike Florio, it's like yawn. And oh, by the way.
Why?
I think Jameis is a target, number one. Now, you can argue quarterbacks always get the attention. I'll see that. Okay, I understand it. For whatever reason, Elliott gets a pass. Now, mind you, Elliott also has a domestic violence allegation. Nothing different than what Jameis went through. Allegation. Unproven allegation. And it's met with a big shrug. But if Jameis did that, I mean, you know, oh, my God, this is a horror. The horror.
Well, is it because it's the Cowboys? Is it because
a little bit? And what I mean by that is, when I say a little bit, and you and I and Ira, we talked about this once before when it came to Joe Mixon and Colin Kaepernick. There are certain cities that Colin Kaepernick cannot play in. Kansas City springs to mind. And I don't care if he's a Chiefs quarterback or not. They'd be throwing rocks at him. Probably Indianapolis is probably the same way, but he'd get away with playing in San Francisco and, in so many words, urinating on the flag. I didn't mean to do that. Well, you did. Even though you didn't mean to, you did hack off a large segment of society. And Elliott's the same way. Or Joe Mixon, I should say. Mixon could, there are certain places Mixon can play, Dallas being one of them. Like, they don't care. As long as you can play football, you can be an axe murderer. Obviously, Mixon's not going to Dallas because they have Elliott. And I think that's part of it. You know, the cowboy mentality. If you can play football, you can play football. I don't care, boy. You can play football. But, you know, Mixon couldn't play in New York or San Francisco or Chicago. He'd probably not even Philadelphia. Washington's another place. Can you play football? Yeah. What's your criminal record? Oh, it's pretty damn long. Don't care, son. And I think that's part of it. Yes, the Elliott plays for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
You know, that's secondary. Yeah. Everything's secondary until what he does on the field.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, I think, though, specifically to this incident, because everybody saw it and the woman involved didn't complain, and nobody knows if she even asked him to do it. You know what I mean? I mean, this is not like some bizarre sex act on camera. This
sure.
is, you know.
But it's not exactly proper behavior.
No.
Is it enviable in a certain degree? Sure. But it's not proper.
Well, it's ridiculous. We acknowledge that. But it's not exactly, you know, I don't know. I think it's because we all saw it. And we could all tell that, obviously, this wasn't a big issue for anybody.
That she didn't try to slap him or
sue him.
Fight.
I mean,
yeah,
she
yeah.
could have already sued him
well,
already.
Well, there's still time.
Right, there's still time. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But I agree. If Jameis was involved with anything like this,
oh,
there'd be outrage. Even if he was at a bar.
They'd be demanding Goodell to suspend him half a year.
Even if he was at a bar and a fight broke out. I mean, it would be outrage. I mean, Tom Jones would get three columns out of it. It would just be.
By the way, I've been in Indianapolis last couple weeks. Been in Las Vegas. Talked to people.
Vegas,
both inside and outside the football media community, and when Jameis's name comes up, almost unanimously, people are like, what the hell was the big deal? And I'm not going to mention the guy's name. He's a prominent football columnist, a national columnist, has a great following. And he came up to me at the Combine, and he said, if you know about what Jameis said at the elementary school, he said, you go to a GOP rally, that'd be like the 17th worst thing you'd hear. And he's like, what's the big deal? And I know what you mean, man. I know what you mean.
That's old news for now, yeah. But I have a feeling that's going to come back at some point for sure. Now, everybody wants more time, more savings, more benefits.
More Cadillacs.
More Cadillacs. You'll always get more at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa.
More service.
Lease a 2017 CTS for just $489 a month. Sign and drive. And enjoy the many benefits of being an Edmore's Cadillac Tampa customer, like complimentary digital alignment checks, car washes, courtesy transportation, and so much more. For offer details, call 844-746-0513 or click edmorescadillactampa.com. Just tremendous. Tremendous opportunity.
Absolutely tremendous. Can I add one thing about the Jameis and the reaction if he did what Elliott did?
Of course.
Well, you know, some people, they still mock us for referring to Jameis. We're the ones that coined the phrase, we should have trademarked it, America's quarterback. It's being picked up by pop culture people, pop stars. Was it one of Jason, not Justin Bieber, but one of the boy bands of the early 2000s that went on Twitter and, you know, come on, DeSean Jackson, play for America's quarterback. We've heard local newscasters refer to Jameis as America's quarterback. But there are still people out there that mock us for that. And we were just talking about the reaction. If Jameis pulled something like Elliott, the amount of hysteria, that's right there. It proves it. I've said this before. I've said it many times. There's only one quarterback I know of, potentially, and I say potentially, moves the needle more than Jameis, and that is Tom Brady. And, of course, some have been, how dare you say that? Brady is so much better. Different animals. We're talking about reaction. No quarterback, with the possible exception of Brady, and once in a while Aaron Rodgers when he flaunts his Hollywood actress girlfriend, no quarterback gets more reaction than Jameis does. Again, with the exception of Tom Brady and sometimes Aaron Rodgers when his girlfriend's pushed out there.
I agree he's America's quarterback. I have to say, I think Russell Wilson is probably higher up on that chain, especially since he's...
With Ciara? Yeah. That's a good point.
With Ciara and just his whole aura and the popularity of him in general, mm-hmm. I'll go there with him. But beyond that, it doesn't matter. Jameis is still America's quarterback. Now, if you just are tuning into the podcast, caught it in the middle somehow, whatever.
You're fast forwarding,
but people don't do that. I get it. But I just want to mention it again. Ira is in good health. He's in good spirits. I'm sure he's eating right now. But this is just a special bonus edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast because we wanted to have one Thursday when they usually come out. But Ira will be back tomorrow morning, Friday morning, with his own podcast. And then his next one will pop either Saturday morning or Sunday morning. So he's got a boatload of commentary on free agency and all the stuff that has been going down in the past week. Lee, real quick. I know you went to a NASCAR event. I guess it was your first one, and you thought that had some ties to the NFL. You know, the Bucks are always looking to put butts in the seats. What'd you see out there?
Well, I'll just be real quick. Yeah, it was my first NASCAR race. I won't say it'll be my last one. I won't say I'll go to another one again. It was like, I did it. But what I found interesting about a NASCAR race, again, first time I've ever been to one, it was the interactivity. You felt like you're part of a pit crew or a team or something like that. And one of the reasons that is that you can rent out radios. And I'm not a gearhead. I'll be the first. I'm not a gearhead. And they rent out radios at NASCAR events that you could listen to pit crews or you can listen to a radio broadcast. Now, mind you, these NASCAR racers, if anyone's gone to the Grand Prix in St. Pete, it's almost as loud as that. Grand Prix is ridiculous.
Oh, very loud.
Maybe
sure.
Because it's downtown. But with these headsets on, you literally do not hear the cars. You don't hear them. It's very much like a coach's headset. And the thing is, you can listen to the pit crews, talk to the driver, which I found to be incredibly boring because they didn't really talk that much. But you can listen to the radio broadcast at the same time. Anyway, the reason why this dovetails in the NFL, the NFL's always, and the Bucks in particular, they're always looking to get butts in seats, as you said. And one of the ways it's been talked about, but coaches are unreliant to do this. Unreliant's not the right word. They're hesitant. They don't want it. Is that fans could have the same kind of access NASCAR fans have, that you could have radio access and listen to the coaches.
Right.
Which would be incredibly awesome. But if the coaches are paranoid, and understandably so in this case, they don't want someone else listening to their conversation with the quarterback or whomever and somehow relaying that down to the bench of your opponent. They're paranoid, and I get that. But if the NFL could ever figure out a way that they could let fans listen to the coaches very much like a NASCAR crew, that is an incredible incentive to, hey, I want to go to the game. I want to hear what the coach is saying. I see the coach looks like he's cussing someone out. I want to hear this.
Yeah, hey, like I said to you, if you can make money on it, they'll do it.
Sure.
If they can find a way to do it. Maybe it's just mic'd up players that you buy this thing and you can change your channel and hear a mic'd up player through a game. I think the only stumbling blocks just on the surface is when you're in an NFL stadium, there's already a lot of companies there paying for your attention. So, you know, just like those signs by the scoreboard and all the ads that run on the Jumbotrons and the signage in the stadium, which costs millions of dollars. If those companies find out, oh, now they're covering people's ears and pumping in something else, well, they're going to pay less attention to what I bought. But there's always a way around it. And
they could actually pipe in commercials.
They could do all kinds of things. And then you've got the radio sponsor saying, hey, people
used
to listen.
Exactly.
Because you know when they go sell those radio ads, they say, well, there's at least 8,000 people in the stadium listening too, glued to it, you know. So who knows? But they'll find more ways to make money. Some of the stuff coming down from these teams is extraordinary. There's been some new plans in Jacksonville even now. They're really going to be the next cutting-edge team, I think, in a lot of ways with what they're doing. But, of course, Jerry Jones.
They were cutting-edge with the video screens and the pool and stuff
like that. They went
big. Another angle with NASCAR and the NFL, I was talking to a bartender in Vegas at 3 o'clock Monday morning.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And he was telling me, he said NASCAR took off after the XFL. I'm like, what do you mean? Well, if you remember the XFL, as soon as a player came off the sideline, they're talking to him. Now, mind you, NASCAR, and I was listening to this on the radio, a dude has a wreck going, 150 miles an hour. How they walk away from these things, I don't know. And the minute they walk away, they got someone with a microphone in their head asking them about their wreck. Now, you and I have both, you know, we've been in wrecks before, going 30 miles an hour. We're shook up. These days, they're 150 miles an hour with their life on the line. And they got someone pumping them for information. And it turns into like a WWE event with the brawls of the pit crew. And he's saying the NFL is going to become, this bartender was telling me this, we were talking about this very same subject. He goes, the NFL, their next step is, as soon as a guy gets off the field, they got a sideline reporter. And right now, they do have, you know, TJ Reeves. They do have sideline reporters, but they're very controlled when and how long, and the access is very controlled. But this bartender was telling me, so I think it makes sense. They're going to open up some freedom for some of these guys, whether it be a network sideline reporter, like, Bonnie Bernstein. I know she doesn't do it anymore, but as an example, Aaron Andrews. You know, as soon as a guy walks on the sideline, boom, they're going to have a microphone in their face, which is what the XFL did. And I thought that was kind
of
interesting.
Yeah, they do a lot of that, actually, in the preseason games.
It's controlled.
It's controlled, but it's a little more open,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah,
but
it's a little looser.
Who knows? The Bucks, then, they're not going to have any issues with seats if they can win some freaking games quickly.
There you go.
Tough division, but we'll see. We'll see. Exciting times here. Don't worry. Ira Kaufman is coming back here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, presented by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Lee, thank you for your time today as we keep the seat warm for Mr. Kaufman.
Certainly.
All right, guys. Enjoy JoeBucksFan.com. Thanks for your support. Ira's back before you know it.